Colossians, please, chapter 1, the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and I'll read a few verses, and these verses, of course, the book of Colossians gives us the preeminence of Christ, and about everything was made for Him and by Him and for His glory, and folks, by the way, that's why we're here. God ordained it so that we bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. Whether you eat or drink, to all the glory of God. And so our lives ought to be bringing glory. We're here not to make a name for ourselves, but make His name known. Get that? We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're here to make Him known. Amen. We're too much about ourselves because the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that's where we are. Mankind loves themselves. I mean, we're so in love with ourselves that we forget about the one we're supposed to be making known. So I like this book. Let's look at verse number 14, speaking of Christ. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There it is. In Christ, we have redemption. How? Look at that preposition. Through His blood. Not by works, not by, it's through the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no way out. So we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins through His blood. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, that's Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Now, we need some presidents and kings and princes and dictators. We need them to read that verse.
Yeah. Amen.
They're where they are because God put them there. Everything was created by Him, for He put them there. And then verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That means first place. And that's where He deserves to be. If He's not in first place in your life, our life is out of order. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Our life is not full, complete without Christ. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, and by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that you were sometimes alienated and your enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. And I'll stop reading there. May the Lord add His blessings. I have an old thought tonight that the Lord laid on my heart. And in these verses we read that it's all about Christ. Now, again, cults, again, anything, any group that makes Jesus just a good man is a cult. Anybody that denies that He's the Son of God, the Savior of the world, anybody that denies His deity, that He was God incarnate, is a cult. Amen. Is a cult. Jehovah's Witness is a cult. Mormons is a cult. Amen. Christian Science is a cult. That's right. Seventh-day Adventist is a cult. See, a lot of people say, I don't think Seventh-day Adventist is a cult. Yeah, they are. They do. They just go to church on Saturday. They don't believe Christ has come. They don't accept Him. I told you about the lady. She let me in on it right quick, like what she believed, and it wasn't Jesus. They're cults. Any group. You say, preacher, we online. And folks, I believe there'll come a day they'll shut us down. But however, I'm going to give account to God for truth. And any group that denounces Christ and makes Him just like you and me is cult. That's right. They're cult. Amen. And I do want to make mention of this. I was brought to my attention about a video game, Fortnite or something. I don't know anything about them. But parents, be careful. They added a feature on that game. where now you can sell your soul to the devil to raise up a teammate or something. Parents, get away from that. Amen. Get away from that. And you and your children ain't strong enough to handle that. Amen. Don't open the door for Satan to get in your house. Don't do that. You'll regret it. Amen. You'll live with disappointment, regret all your life. And I'm not running your house. And again, I'm not going to come to your house if you got it. That's beyond what God's called me to do. But I am here to warn you about it. Amen. So anyway, we have here the uniqueness of Christ. The word unique means unparalleled, matchless, unequaled. In other words, there's Jesus and nobody else. You know, they say this about athletes and different things, entertainers. There was this fine, then everybody else was behind. We ain't even near him as far as his deity and who he is. And all I want to do is simply tonight, quickly, and I'll let you go, on just going from his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and he's coming again, and show you his uniqueness, that nobody, hey, did Brother Larry Brown had a message? Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody, hey, and nobody is like him. Nobody's close. We all sinners in need of a Savior, and he's the Savior. So any of us even qualified to be anywhere near him in this level. Now, let's go to this. I'm going to talk about things that Christ, very simple, was unique in. Number one, Christ was unique in his birth. Now, you realize he was the only person that ever lived before he was born. Get a hold of that. He's the only person that ever lived before he was born. Now, I understand Hinduism, that's a cult too. You know, they believe that reincarnation and all that stuff. And I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying, nobody, you say, well, preacher, I might have lived in a different. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The world couldn't handle you twice. He was the only person ever lived before he was born. Now I'm going to continue living after I die, but not here. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's plural, isn't it? Amen. The Trinity was present. Christ was there. Folks, he didn't just start his being when he was born through a virgin's womb. He's always been. He took up on a body. That day, he took a body. That's when he became all God, and then all man too, without sin. But anyway, we'll get to that. John 8:56 says this: Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. It's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. So he was the only person ever lived before he was born. Notice this: he was born without the aid of a human father. Ain't nobody here been born without the aid of a human father. We know the word of God, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Again, I repeat, you know, Jesus Christ a sign. You couldn't miss that sign. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, y'all listen to this. What behold means, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You actually believe the virgin birth? I sure do. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. I know some of the other translations call Mary a young woman. Well, that means the same thing. Are you serious? A virgin and young woman does not mean the same thing. I believe amongst people have enough sense to know that. What are they trying to do? Take Jesus out of the Word of God. Take his power out. Take who he is out. If he was born through the aid of a human father, then therefore he was sinful. All of us come from a human father that was sinful. So the only way Christ can come to this world with no sin is not be conceived by man. That's right. He was born without the aid of a human father. He was the only person that ever lived before he was born. Listen to this. He was named 750 years before his birth. None of us was named 750 years. You know, they didn't open up a dusty book and say, here's what your great, 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 grandpa said name you. Isaiah 7:14, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 750 years that prophecy was given by Isaiah before Jesus was born. 750 years, not 10 billion years, 750 years. He was born without a sin nature. If you don't have an earthly father, you don't have a sin nature. Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. 1 John 3:5 says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He's impeccable. Get a hold of that word, impeccable. Impeccable means he didn't sin, nor could he have. He was impeccable. Amen. Write that word down and use it. People think you're smart. Impeccable. I like saying it because I can pronounce it. Impeccable. Impeccable. Didn't sin, could not sin. Amen. Amen. I don't want to serve a God that might have, could have. Amen. Amen. Folks, you understand Christ, his followers, and even his enemies couldn't find fault in him. They had to lie on him. So we see Christ was unique. He was unique in his birth. He was unique in his being or in his life. Again, he never sinned. In his life. Amen. Do you understand, folks? We sinned before we was even conscious of what sin was. Yeah. As babies. Yeah. Babies by nature lie. Yeah. That's right. They act like they dying in the crib. All that is a ploy to get you to come in there and get them. 30 seconds, not even 30 seconds. While you lifting them out, it's dried up. So we are sinful. Then get this. Christ never displeased his father in his life. Amen. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I think about how many times I've displeased my earthly father, but how many times I've displeased my heavenly father. Folks, since salvation. Boy, thank God for his mercy. Here's what the Father said about it, Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You can read things like that, Matthew 12:17, Mark 1, Mark 9, Luke 3. Christ never lost sight of his mission in life. He never lost sight of his mission. At the age of 30, his earthly ministry began. At the age of 30. Even back at the age of 12 when they lost him. See, folks, from 12 to 30, it's silent. So I can't preach on that. His birth, 12 years old, then we start his earthly ministry. They went a day's journey and figured out he ain't with us. Went all the way back, found him where? In the temple teaching. Amazing everybody. And he was lovingly rebuked. He put himself under the authority of Joseph and Mary. What an example. And he made this statement, wished ye not, I must be about my Father's business. What did he say? He never lost sight. Hebrews 10:9 said, "Then said he, Lo, I am come to do thy will, O God." He never veered from the will of God in his life. His will was to come and give his life, shed his blood, to die. Folks, can I tell you something? He died. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Man, if Christ is our example, we ought to strive to be unique in our life. Never displease the Father. Never lose sight of the mission that God has in our life. We get weary. Christ got weary. See, he had all the attributes of man, but without sin. He felt pain. He hungered. He thirsted. He got weary. That journey made to Samaria, he sat down on the well, got tired. I seen somebody with a shirt the other day, and y'all probably seen it, where Jesus was asleep in the hind part of the ship, and somebody had a shirt on, "Jesus takes naps, be more like Jesus." All those things, he felt just like us, but he never lost sight of his mission. He never displeased the Father. See, we have no excuse. The world we live in today. Do y'all realize, you say, look how bad it is. And it is. It's wicked. But do y'all realize the apostles, most of them were martyred in the early church age? Y'all understand that? In prison. They tried to boil John the Baptist, not John the Baptist, John the Beloved. Tried to boil him. He wouldn't die. Exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. Peter crucified upside down. Herod killed James. Going on. They were all martyred. All martyred. You and me ain't got there yet. And they live for God. Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of the faith. The Lord named names of people that went through turmoil yet were faithful to God. See, even in this hour, you and me can still walk with God and stay faithful to God, live for God, even in this day. He was unique in his being. Notice thirdly, going quick, he was unique in his burial or his death. You know, the Lord's death was unnatural. It was unique for one that is holy to die the death of a sinner. You understand? He died the death of a common criminal. His death was preternatural. What does that mean? It was determined beforehand how he was going to die. Even in the Old Testament, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Before he shears dumb, he opened not his mouth. His death was supernatural, different than other deaths. He laid down his life. He was not powerless in the hands of his enemies. He was not conquered by death, but willingly yielded himself to it. He was in full control of the situation. His death shook the whole earth. There wasn't an earthquake, the earth shook. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake. The earth, can you imagine? And God cut the power off. Heaven mourned. Can you imagine? There ain't no earth going to quake when I die. No temple veils will be rent. Jesus made a way now that we are priests of our own right going to the throne of God. None of that happens when we die. None of that happens when we die. And get this. Do you understand? I got to think about this the other day. You said, "Preacher, you think about stuff that's really out there." But do you realize You take my family. Brother Tim talked about his family. I feel the same way about mine. Amen. You do what you want to me. Don't mess with them. Amen. Amen. I'm good to yours. You be good to mine. We'll get along just fine. But I got to thinking about my children. Do you realize it won't really take but two or three generations, and I will be completely forgotten? Think about that. At the most, two or three generations, ain't nobody. Now, when I leave, y'all might put a picture of me somewhere, and it'll be so covered with dust, by then ain't nobody looking at it. Don't remember. Do you understand how quickly? Hey, folks, if you understood, I read this. If you understood how quickly you'll be forgotten at death, you won't worry so much about what people think of you now. Get a hold of that. If you knew how quickly that you'll be forgotten about after you die, you wouldn't worry so much about what people think about you now. Oh, I'll be remembered forever. No, you won't. I won't. You won't. Just take my family. My dad's been gone for several years now. There'll come a day that his nieces, nephews, they'll be gone. We'll be gone. Nobody's going to remember them. It's coming sooner for them. We keep their memory alive now. Talking about them, thinking about them, sharing pictures with them, about them, all that stuff. But that day's going, one day, nobody's going to be thinking about Charles Turner. One day, nobody's going to be thinking about Tommy Turner. It'll be as though we've never existed. I'm going somewhere. But Jesus died over 2,000 years ago. Look at the generations, the generations, the generations. And we still talking about him. Amen. We still introducing him to people. We still praising his name. We still worship. Hey, he's different. Amen. He's different.
That's right.
He's unique in his life. Oh, you should preach, but I want to make a great impact on people. You will, but in a couple of generations, you won't be able to. See, the only thing we're trying to do now is make an impact on people so they'll make an impact on people.
Right.
Then they'll make an impact on, not us, Jesus. Are you listening? We're not here to make ourselves remembered. Because Brother Tim, you're exactly right. Our family is all we got. And one day, I'm glad the Lord don't forget us. I'm thankful. I'm thankful he don't forget who I am, where I am, what I am. So quit spending so much time worried about what people says about you. Who cares? Amen. Who cares? I can stand in your face for 2 seconds and find all kind of flaws in you, and you can do the same. Get over it. Don't be so insecure you're going to tear somebody down to make yourself look good. Hey, you that listen to that, have more sense than that. Amen. To listen to that. Because if they tear someone down to you, they'll tear you down to someone else. That's right. That's right. So he was unique in his, he was unique in his being. He was unique in his death. Then notice, fourthly, he was unique in his resurrection. The first and only to resurrect himself. He died but did not see corruption. Get a hold of that. Psalm 16:10 said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." He never saw corruption. You and I are corruptible. This bodies are. That's why Paul said one day this corruptible will put on incorruptible. This mortal will put on immortality. Amen. I don't claim to understand it all. And you may have a different opinion, but folks, when I die, my soul and spirit's going to heaven to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. This body isn't going to heaven. It's sinful. There's nothing in heaven that will defile. If this body went to heaven, I'd defile it. Heaven. So this body's going back to the dust from which it was made. That's where it's going. But when the trump of God sounds, again, this corruptible upon an incorruptible, this mortal upon immortality, it'll be resurrected, a new body. And somewhere between here and the clouds, my soul and spirit's hooking up with that new body. Are you listening? He's the only one that to predict the time of his resurrection. Matthew 12, 39 and 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He was the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15:20. And the Bible days, they knew about first fruits. Some of you, Brother Jerry, some of you may understand all that. I don't. But I do know if the first fruits came up, they would rejoice at harvest time because they knew the rest of the harvest was coming. Christ is our first fruits. The grave couldn't hold him, so we rejoice because it couldn't hold him, it's not holding us. He's the first, he's the proof that resurrection's coming. Praise the Lord. Then notice fifthly, he'll be unique in his coming. His coming will be a secret, is a secret. No man knows the day or the hour the Son of Man doth come. At a time that you think not. The parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. The only difference is in them, their lifestyles was the same. The only difference is some had oil in their lamps, some didn't. Picture of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Five had oil in their lamps, five did not. The Bible said at the midnight cry, they said the bridegroom cometh. They were slumbering and sleeping, all of them was, just the sinners and the church. Slumbering and sleeping. It wasn't nodding off, it was already out. And the midnight cry was made. And they jump up. Hey, give us of your oil. We can't give you our oil. You got to have your own oil. And while they went, the bridegroom came and he shut the door. Hey, friend. The midnight hour is coming spiritually. God, the Lord's coming. Better get ready. His coming will be secret. His coming will be selective. Only the saved are going. His coming will be swift in a moment, twinkling of an eye. His coming will be sure. Surely he said, I come quickly. He's different. He's unique. We live in a time now, folks, and I've said this other week, I think, we're in the days of apostasy. Folks are turning their back on truth. They heard truth. They was around truth, but puked it out spiritually. They come in and go around trying to corrupt. We live in a world today that denounces everything that I preached. They some people, and folks, by the way, They're not 10,000 miles away. They in our neighborhoods. They're people you went to school with. Some you used to go to church with. Come on. And they're laughing at this message. They're mocking this message. They're calling us just a bunch of ignorant people that believe in fairy tales. They'd rather believe in the Big Bang Theory. They'd rather believe in evolution. They'd rather believe that we're just like animals. That God, and of course, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about God didn't give animals a soul. And when you die, you just die. Folks, that's not true. Everybody here has an eternal life. Where you spend it is your choice. They're laughing to scorn at preaching like this. And I know it was simple preaching, but it needs to be. We need to be reminded. We're different because Christ is different. And folks, I say this a lot, and you said it jokingly, but I mean it in my heart today, tonight. Folks, I believe I have better faith believing the gospel of Christ than believing, boom, it spun so fast on its axis, and then boom, everything just fell in place. And y'all calling me ignorant? Y'all calling me believing in fairy tales?
Right.
Evolution? Man come from a monkey, then evolved into a man. Well, let me tell you something. Evolution's never ending. If you believe evolution, you have to believe all of it. It's never ending.
Right.
What are we going to evolve into next? I've evolved into an old man. I asked Brother Luke's son how tall he was now in prayer. He said 6'2". I used to be about that high. I said, stand up. I stood beside him. He's 2 inches taller than me. What's happening? A corruptible art is corrupted, but I'm not evolving into anything else. And I didn't come from a monkey. Are you listening to me? Like one old preacher said, "You may in my family tree, you might find some people hanging by their neck on a tree, but none by their tail." That's so far out. I'm glad God gave me the faith to know there's a God in heaven that spoke this world into existence.
Amen.
In 6 days.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Well, preacher, I believe each day represented a million. No, I believe each day represented a day.
Amen.
Actual days. He spoke it and it was. And everything he created, he said, boy, that's good. God's never created nothing bad. That's good. That's good. I'm glad that I received that. Do you understand other religions? There's more punishment. There's more unforgiveness in those religions than the Bible. Folks, when Adam fell, immediately the Lord made a way to pardon them, to cover their sin. He dealt with it. And Adam and Eve, they made fig leaves. That's a picture of works. They begin to fade. They begin to wilt. They wouldn't cover. But then he took the skin of lambs, shed blood, and covered them. What a picture of Jesus. What a picture of Christ. And he sent his only son to take our sin, that we could have life and get forgiveness and live with him forever. No other religions believe that. No other religions believe that. And let me say this too. They're crying out now, trying to get something started, saying, hey, women now, boy, you ain't got no right, you can't do this. Go over there to some of these other countries and talk back to your husband. They'll chop your head off. I'm not lying. And you can't have nothing uncovered but your eyes. Boo. I don't want to hear that stuff. Amen. The Lord said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I believe I go with what the Bible says. Amen. 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 He's unique. Let's all stand. Court's coming.